AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden has unveiled his budget plan. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has the story.
The president's budget includes a number of ideas that failed to advance when Democrats controlled both houses of Congress, including hundreds of billions of dollars for child and elder care and universal preschool. To pay for it all, Mr. Biden would raise the corporate tax rate, impose a new wealth tax on America's richest families, and increase rates on married couples earning over $450,000 a year. The budget allows the president to contrast his plans with Republicans.
They want to cut tax for the wealthy and large corporations.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy calls the Biden budget completely unserious. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley is proposing her own reforms to big budget federal programs.
I'm Steve Dorsey in Washington.
We need to fix it.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley told an Iowa crowd she'd support reforms to Social Security and Medicare.
So the first thing you do is you change the retirement age of the young people coming up, so that we can try and have some sort of system for them.
Haley says those benefits should also be limited for the rich.
Democrats are supporting raising taxes on the wealthy. The CEO of Norfolk Southern was on Capitol Hill today testifying about that train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio.
Alan Shaw apologized, saying he is deeply sorry.
We've been cooperating fully with the NTSB's investigation.
The CEO said so far there is no indication that those on board the train did anything wrong.
The preliminary report found that the Norfolk Southern crew was operating the train below the speed limit and in an approved manner.
But he said it's clear the safety mechanisms in place were not enough. He promised improvements.
I'm going to make sure they've got the right training and the right technology.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman with that report. Well wishes pouring in as Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell recovers at a Washington, D.C. hospital. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio.
A spokesperson for the Kentucky Republican says he tripped at a local hotel during a private dinner. He has been admitted to the hospital where he is receiving treatment.
The 81-year-old Republican leader suffered a concussion. A massive Russian missile barrage rained down on sections of Ukraine last night. CBS's MTS Taib is in the Ukrainian city of Dnipro.
The far west of the country, Lviv, which has largely been spared the kind of devastation we've seen in the east of the country. You see homes reduced to rubble. You see people having lost their lives lying in their beds.
NASA Administrator Bill Nelson with the agency's top priority.
NASA is laser focused on Mars.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you're rolling Charmin, I'm just soft on the potty. Let's just muscle, roll it back, everybody. Charmin's irresistibly soft and hella nice. The crib is always stocked.
It's our potty.
Charmin Ultra Soft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Hi, this is Drew Barrymore. Do you know what my idea of the perfect night is? First, make a bunch of complicated plans, and then cancel all those plans. Instead, spend the night streaming movies and TV shows on Pluto TV for free, including my show. There are tons of live channels and even more on demand. Free to stream all you want on Pluto TV and never pay a thing. Stream now, pay never. Pluto TV.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until 9 a.m. this morning. Highs around 35 today under cloudy skies with snow likely. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 19. Tonight, cloudy. 33. Tomorrow, chance for snow. 4 to 8 inches of snow today through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
And he says it. It sounds very similar because he's very professional. He's disciplined. He doesn't speak off topic like some people I know. Me. So Fred is still with us, and I wanted to give Fred the last word, who was trying to make the case that we've got to, rather than having an ideological debate, it's got to be more like a marketing campaign. And I didn't disagree, but I did want to make sure that we understand there's a few things to overcome with in that regard. One is, when you think about Fox News, is it's not as monotheistic or monochromatic or monocultural. Second, there's a funding challenge, and three, there's a distribution challenge. And I do think that managing and figuring out that distribution challenge, right? The best products don't always win. The products you make in grocery stores very often win. So how do you get it? And we had a caller, and thank you for the tweet that somebody tweeted at me, who was saying something that they heard on Como News, and they say, hey, be careful with Como News, part of the Sinclair Network. Sinclair Network didn't get strong because merely its brilliance. It got strong because it had a bunch of dough and was able to buy some brilliance, buy distribution, get into the grocery stores of the human mind. But Fred, wanted to give you a last word before we get to our guest.
Well, yeah, I think just a couple things. I think, you know, that a directed marketing campaign for certain markets and certain elections that you tie, you know, like I said, Medicare for All, the points that are so good for so many people. I mean, you can go down a list. One time I listed all the reasons why we should be using it, you know, as I was wanting to write an op-ed or something on it, and it's mind-numbing, okay? And there are no arguments against it. There are nothing, okay? So if you had a directed marketing campaign in certain markets, certain big elections, rather than running, you know, hundreds of these moronic ads, I think really have very little effect on people during election time. If they were more directed at their points and what they're going to give people through the legislation they want to pass, it would
any
be much
examples,
more effective.
That's any examples?
More of a thought and a directed part about, especially.
Hold on. Let me ask a question, right. Fred. Let me ask a question before we go. Any examples you've seen that are good examples? Any examples you've seen? Oh, that's the good thing I'm talking about, not the dumb thing I'm worried about.
No, I don't think so. Nothing that's really caught my eye. I really don't think so.
Well, if you see something,
we've really got the high ground, okay? And the product is so much better than what the Republicans are pushing, right?
Yeah.
The only reason we are losing these battles is because we're doing something wrong, okay? We have to recognize that.
That's where. So, you have me like, I don't know, 82%, but that's also where my quibble is, because I don't think that's the only reason. It's not only because we aren't doing something wrong. It is not surprising that a public interest message, that something that has distributed benefits, has some built-in communication challenges over something that has concentrated benefits or concentrated costs, right? Like if, like you say, hey, this can help everybody a little bit, and it's going to cost this one oligarch a whole lot. Well, that one oligarch has a whole bunch of incentive to try to stop that thing, and everybody else has a little bit of incentive to maybe help out, but there's a collective action problem you got to overcome. It's not that surprising that the powerful have some power. And so where I agree with you that we've got to look for ways to improve, we've got to look for ways to be sort of better communicators, to be better distributors, that we do have in many respects, democracy has democracy on its side, and that's all to the good. I also, as we think about those strategies, those communication strategies, those distribution strategies, also to be aware of the landscape, which is not symmetrical. That's what I'd say about it. That's the small quibble I would have in addition to, I think, your wisdom.
I agree with you on that, but I'm just saying that we need the expertise in these campaigns
of
marketing type people that are pushing products, and not people that are typically doing these for just political campaigns and buzzwords and things.
I hear you, Fred. I got to get to the guest. And thank you so much for the call and for sticking with us. And I will say that last bit of wisdom was real wisdom. That the artistic community, the persuasion community, the community that's really good at communication, intersecting more with the political community is really important. Too often, the political community keeps those people away because they want to maintain their own power. But let me share some power right now with a friend. Tim Marcroft is on the air. I mentioned earlier on Thank You Thursday something I'm really grateful for, and that is citizen activism. Very specifically, citizen activism in that respect on climate and on energy. That Tim Marcroft, calling from France, I don't know what time it is in France, but it's not the same time there as it is here. France is not even in this country. But part of the research team that analyzed what citizen movements, the impact they were having on European energy. We just saw the story that Europe right now is producing more renewable energy than it is, that renewable energy just cleared a greater percentage of use, solar and wind, than the natural gas. And that wasn't all because of massive decisions. It was also because of a massive set of smaller decisions. We'll get started with Tim right now, and then we'll continue. Tim, you with us?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
It's good to have you. It's still morning here. What time is it in France?
Well, the French clock is a 24-hour clock, so we're at 2011.
All right. So 2011 in the year 2023. It is delightful to talk to you. So give us a little bit of background on the research. What was the question that your team was grappling with?
So basically, we wanted to know what is the aggregate contribution of collective action in the energy transition in Europe. So if you take all of the small-scale cooperatives and nonprofit associations and even informal groups that get together and do something in the energy transition, in particular produce, but not only, how much is that altogether in all of the countries of Europe? This was a research project called COMETS, funded by the European Union, that ran for 4 years. And the research group that I was a part of was tasked with putting together a database that covers all of those initiatives and as much information as we could possibly find about them.
So give us a garden variety example of one of these projects. And I think I understand. I mean, I know why I am so grateful to the research and why I'm inspired by it. And that is this idea that, and I think it's sort of obvious, right, that a little group of activists might actually have some impact if there's lots of other little group of activists, right, that small scale at scale can have big impacts. That's why I care about it, maybe even why you worked on it. What is the, give us a garden variety example or three of the kind of projects you looked at.
Well, I can start with one that's right near the town where I live. It's a place. It's a cooperative called Combraille Durable. It's a French name, as you can understand. And they are one of the first of these small-scale citizen solar-based cooperatives in France. What they do is they get a few dozen people together. They organize them into working groups. They all work together to raise money and put solar panels on the rooftops of usually public buildings, and then they take that money and they sell it into the grid so that they can reinvest that into more solar panels. That's one sort of classic example.
How rich do these people have to be in order to get this little cooperative started? Like, how much power do they need to be able to wield enough power to generate some solar power?
So I think if you were to do the average of all of these initiatives, in France at least, you would find that the average individual member invests about 500 euros. So it's money, but it's not a lot of money.
Not everybody has it, but a lot of people have it.
Yes.
All right. And 500 euros are like dollars, right? But for Europe?
Yeah, and the exchange rate's about the same. And altogether, we find that these initiatives have invested somewhere between 6 and 11 billion euros in the renewable energy transition over the last 20 years.
So these projects, average contribution of $500, group of people gets together and say, we want to get some solar panels together. And so they pitch in. And what's the average? Okay, so that's the average individual. What's the average group size of these projects? Like number of people who are involved in each one on average, or the range, right, that was necessary to collaborate to make it possible?
So it's going to depend on the technology. For the smaller initiatives, in particular for small-scale hydropower or solar panels, you're going to be looking at maybe 100 people at the very high end.
Okay.
For larger initiatives to put up wind farms, you'll probably be looking at a few hundred and even as many as 1,000 people. That's in France. In the Nordic countries, and Denmark in particular, you're going to be looking at even bigger numbers where thousands of people will be getting involved in each individual cooperative. So it kind of depends on the country.
And what about on the smaller end? What about, like, what's the, because I'm partly interested also in how few it takes to do something that might have some impact. Because, you know, maybe I don't have 100 friends. Maybe I don't have 1,000 friends. On the smaller end, can I do it if I have 20 or 65?
I think 20 could do it. On the smaller end, you and maybe 5 other friends can form a, you know how this stuff works, a group of people get together and they work really hard, and then there are a few other people outside of that who work a little less hard, and then outside of that there are a bunch of people who support potentially financially, and you end up with, you know, maybe at least 40 to 50 people needed to invest in something that's going to be able to continue over time. But in terms of real work, you can get it done with 4 or 5 people.
So here is the money paragraph from the article. I'm looking at anthropocenemagazine.org. When you're looking at citizen initiative green innovation in Europe, it's not all covered by CBI.
At selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale's going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
Howdy, everybody. So I am inspired by groups of people who get together, start the little cooperative, make their, and I just don't say little to diminish, but they're manageable, they're doable, executable, group of people together to put together their renewal project, and the idea that if we can create the regulatory underpinning, if we can have something like feed-in tariffs, for instance, have something that allows you to produce energy in your house because you put solar panels in your house and you use it, that's great. But if there is remainder, you can sell it back into the grid. That is something that can happen in cities and states. We don't have to necessarily wait until Congress. That's something the president could help with, for sure. But it doesn't have to be a president. Something that you and your local community, for people listening to this program, who care about the climate, who want to do something about it, or who want to encourage other people to do things about it, it's downscale at scale, to me, is one of the big ideas for this century, right? Let me dwell on that actually for a moment. When I say downscale at scale, so during the Industrial Revolution, the big factory was changing the world, and it inspired other people to do things in similar ways. So we started building these big school buildings or big institutions to house people with mental challenges, to large hospitals, large distribution centers, just this idea of large industrial scale. Industrial scale meant large. What we've now realized, and to solve big problems, it takes a lot, right? You're not gonna get at scale with only doing a few things. But what I'm increasingly interested in, and it's related to local power, it's related to empowering activists, it's related to what states and cities can do, it's related to making sure we don't have, whether it's by large corporation or by large government, we don't have oppression, is what can you do at scale, but downscale? What small things can be done? For instance, not just taking all the effluent that comes off, all the pollutants, all of the everything that gets run off into the street, not just putting that through a big giant pipe, but processing some of that hyper locally, right? By having, because you can do a lot of that naturally. How can we plan for a future that does more downscale at scale? And this is an example of it. Not just waiting for the second coming of FDR to solve climate policy. I'm not rooting against it. I'm pretty much rooting for it. But also recognizing what we can do to put together 10,000 projects with, 10,000 initiatives with 20,000 projects and involve 2 million people to generate $10 billion worth of investment and to then generate 10 gigawatts of power. That's real stuff. That's downscale at scale. Anyway, I appreciate that conversation, and I'm wanting us to hear it, not only about climate, but also, and that might be the best example, but also about how can we, through smaller scale action, still solve big problems. Let's move along to Jeff. Well, that's a good name, from San Francisco, California, beautiful town.
Thank you so much. You know, there's several. I was actually on the radio with Loretta Lynch, not the same one that was the one of Clinton's people, but she was in charge of for California's public utilities.
Okay.
And I was asking her about comparing this with why couldn't we do this in California, you know, what they did in Germany, because Germany had all those solar rooftops, and they did it through public banking. And she says the only thing stopping us is you know, political will of the people.
That's it.
You know,
it was
on KGO, and it was like seemed like a week later that's when KGO went off the air. You know, a little conspiracy theory, I think, that the PG&E got rid of him. I don't know. But anyway, it's just I really enjoy that guy. And I think public banking would be a possibility to fund this in the future as well.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought it up, Jeff. And this here's the thing, that this stuff, it's not crazy. It's not undoable. It's actually doable.
There
are political headwinds, and political headwinds, they're actually surmountable. Particularly, what I am looking for is leadership within cities. I'm looking for mayors and city councils who will do public banking in cities. You can get it done in states, but the vote count gets pretty hard, because to get any, and I think there ought to be Republicans, right? Because they do it in the Dakotas, but there ought to be Republicans who stand up for public banking. The challenge is the Republican Party is so captured that all it takes is a wiggle of a couple lobbyist fingers and to lock up any Republican caucus in any legislative chamber in the country. And so therefore, if the Republicans control a legislative caucus, it's going to shut it down there. Basically, the ALEC-related forces will make sure that doesn't have a chance. So you're looking at states. The only ways to do public banking would be in states where they've got basically trifectas of Democratic control. It's not how I think it should be. I think there should be Republicans that push for this stuff, but I'm being real politic here for a moment. All right. So that's how to get it done in states. But even then, you got to make sure it's not too many Joe Manchin Democrats that are giving you that Democratic control, because in order to get that Democratic control, you got to win a lot of swing districts, and to win swing districts takes real money. And that money doesn't all come from Tom Hartman listeners. Some of it does come from lobbyists, and some of those lobbyists are banking lobbyists. So to get the majorities, and back to my old how a bill becomes a law thing, it's easier to stop something than it is to pass something. To pass a bill through a bicameral chamber, you got to get it through committees. It takes five yeses, right? Five important yeses. You got to get it through committee on the chamber of origin, and then you got to get it through that floor. Let's say it originates in the House. You got to get through the House committee and then the House floor. Then it's got to go over the Senate. It's got to go through the Senate committee and it's go through the Senate floor, and then a governor has to pass it. So you need five yeses. To stop it, you only need one no. You just need the committee to stop it, or the floor to stop it, or the other committee to stop it, or the other floor to stop it, or the governor to veto it, or the governor to say they veto it early on so they don't even bother with some of the other steps. So it's hard to get through.
What do you think happened to the initiative in California to get health care?
There you go.
One stopped it, and that was our governor.
There you go. So, but this is something that still can happen in states with the Democratic trifecta, and it is something that can happen in cities. We could do public banking, and we could do feed-in tariffs and real green energy stuff, not just a Green New Deal, but people
stuff.
You're
listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
I'm all fired up. You people have more power than you realize. You have more power than you realize.
Explore the mighty Mississippi River with American Cruise Lines. On this amazing journey, you'll discover Civil War history you've only read about, savor delicious Cajun cuisine in New Orleans, and experience the roots of rock and roll firsthand in Memphis aboard the newest fleet of American riverboats. Relax on your private balcony, taking in the scenery as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not.
was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until 9 a.m. this morning. Highs around 35 today under cloudy skies with snow likely. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 19. Tonight, cloudy. 33. Tomorrow, chance for snow. 4 to 8 inches of snow today through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
All of the same ratios and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much. Mm-hmm. I had no supervision.
More like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com.
We're back at Tom Hartman. Let's get the speed round. The call number is 202-808-9925. Let's go to Joe from Indianapolis, Indiana. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, how you doing today?
You know, I'm flying.
Yeah, you were just talking about financing these green energy projects, and basically you're just describing ESG movement. And basically what we need to do is we need to take all the subsidies away from green energy and let people buy them and produce them at whatever cost the actual true cost of the energy.
No, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to disagree with your straw man. So I said I think when you say ESG movement, I think you're trying to. So I was saying something very different from a subsidy. Make your point, but I was saying something different than that. But go ahead.
My point being that green energy is basically uneconomical. And if you just let the capitalist system work, you would prove that it's uneconomical.
Right. So I understand that's your belief. I'm going to try to disagree. I'm going to try to disagree that solar power can be really economical, and what helps it be economical, even absent major subsidies, is if you put a solar panel on your house and you collect that energy, and then you can sell it back into the tariff at the market energy price. If that's all we did, if we just allowed that to happen, to people to collect energy and then sell that energy into the grid, so you made sure that you didn't have central command of every input into the energy system. Of course, there need to be standards to make sure it's good energy, whatever, but that's not hard to do. Then you could promote a more renewable energy future, even irrespective of major subsidies. But what I want to ask, what's your favorite kind of energy? What's your long-term plan for our energy future? Is it basically just oil until we run out, or what's your best plan?
Well, no, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay, if I could put solar panels on my house and sell it back,
yeah,
that would be great.
Yeah.
It would be wonderful, except that the actual putting the solar panels on my house without a subsidy is not cost-effective.
Well, let me ask.
All right.
So, I mean, we've been subsidizing oil for decades, but what is your best plan? So free market just figured out, I get that, but if you're actually talking about, I mean, I understand your case, but if you're actually talking about the kind of energy that you think will win or should win, what do you think that is?
I think it should be on all of the above energy policy, including coal.
Yeah,
and including nuclear. I mean, you can have the ultra efficient new coal plants that actually run about like 20-something% more efficiently than current.
Yeah,
and for every 1% of efficiency, you reduce carbon by 1.5%. Okay, now
so here's my challenge. Finish, and then I want to reply.
Because you can say whatever you want, but people in India are going to want electricity. People in China are going to want electricity.
You're absolutely right. And there's a global collective action problem. There's no question, right? And one of the reasons I'm interested in that, in the story that we did, is that it showed how lots of micro activity actually generated, like, real impact, right? So we don't have to say, ah, well, they're not doing it in China enough. They're not doing it in India. Actually, in some respects, China's ahead of us on some transportation innovations. But they're not doing it there, so we're not going to take any responsibility for ourselves. I want to flip that and say, no, let's take responsibility for ourselves. Let's show that responsibility. Let's show leadership. Let's be Americans and show leadership. And guess what? I bet you other countries catch up, which is what's happened for the last 100 years in so many things, right? But the thing I want to say about just letting the market work when it comes to energy is, what do you do about pollution? I mean, my challenge is, if I just say, okay, I don't want any market interference when it comes to my energy production, what do I do about somebody, you know, like the coal smokestack that gets into somebody's clothes or gives somebody black lung? What do I do about the nuclear power plant that explodes? What do I do about the oil that runs out or the foreign wars we get into because we need more of it? It seems to me that energy is a classic example. The environment is a classic example where the market doesn't solve for everything. What do we do about that?
When at night, when you need electricity and you're not generating anything, you need baseline power.
I know I need baseline power.
And that's going to come from either nuclear, gas, or coal.
No, but don't get me wrong. And I acknowledge my own hypocrisy all the time, right? I drove a car here today, right? I communicate on computers that are made out of petroleum. That said, that is different than saying, okay, therefore, let's have no regulatory involvement in our energy or environmental landscape, right? Like, if we just let the market work, then we'll just plunder the environment. We'll just externalize all our costs, and we'll all be doomed. I mean, do we really think that the market's going to solve for everything when it comes to environmental and energy policy?
Yeah, basically.
So, because do you think we have permanent oil forever?
Right now, you know, according to the population, we're supposed to be out of oil by the year 2000, and now we're still swimming in it.
Do you think climate change is real?
I think climate has always changed. I don't know how much anthropomorphic climate change.
So you don't know if humans have a big impact. All right, so we disagree on that, but at least I hear your perspective. And then the other piece is, do you think pollution matters? Do you think it's fair if I put a coal plant in my backyard and you know, let the market work, no regulation? I'm going to pull coal plant in my backyard. I'm going to find willing buyers, because as long as I can find a train that's willing to ship it, I know there's somebody in some country that'll use that coal. Heck, I might be able to sell it to some neighbor of mine who doesn't much care about the environment, and I just pollute my neighbor. Should I be allowed to do that?
No one's saying no regulation whatsoever. You're over-regulating everything to where you're actually shutting down everything.
What are we shutting down?
I
drove to work today. Nothing got shut down.
Look at the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and when that thing empties out, see what happens when you're with gas prices.
Well, yeah, we use the Strategic Energy Reserve, and just recently, right? Like that's why. Like, there's going to be government involvement in this stuff, and I appreciate that we agree there needs to be some. So we're just disagreeing on sort of how much. And part of the reason for that is you think that maybe humans aren't as big a deal when it comes to climate change, and I think humans are a big deal when it comes to climate change. But what I would say is that looking for what we might be able to find some agreement on is where we can find some, and the feed-in tariffs are an example, right? Actually, making sure that a big energy company, that a big utility doesn't control the regulatory apparatus so much that it makes it so that you can't sell the solar from your own house back into the grid. I think that is a thing where people who are more market fundamentalists and people who are more sort of, you know, kind of pro-social folks, I think that we can, and sort of environmental advocates, can kind of come together. Let me give you the last word, Joe.
I just want to tell you that, like, in the people of India, one of the leading causes of death of Indians is respiratory and heart failure due to burning wood and cow dung as cooking and heating.
We can agree.
I do not believe
we should have a cow dung energy future. We agree.
In India, that is a fact.
Yeah. Joe, thanks so much
and
for the call.
Indian.
Oh, all right. Be well. Keith, go ahead, from Charlotte.
Hey, Jeff. I just thought I'd weigh in briefly. This is a first-time call. So you had a guest on, I believe, just before me. And thank you for subbing in for Tom. You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
I just wanted to weigh in. people who think that green energy is something that can only happen with regulation with regulations and heavy subsidies. And I am here to say that that is not the case. There is a completely private consortium where I grew up, all private money, not government subsidized. And they have crunched the numbers, and they're building a 10 windmill wind farm. It's going up right now. The first windmill is already operational, and they've crunched the numbers. And again, they're not subsidized, and they are looking to looking at it as a profitable enterprise. And so it doesn't require government subsidies.
Yeah. So I
just wanted to weigh in.
I'm gonna agree. And so where I think John and I did find some agreement is that the thing I was talking about with Tim a little bit ago, the thing that we were talking about even with European examples, were not large public subsidies. Were exactly what you're talking about. It was just making sure that people are allowed to get together, to build their little collective, build their little co-op, and then allowed to sell that power into the grid to make sure the regulations don't block that. And that was, just by having that ability, just by having the market organized, it's not precisely the same thing as just letting the market work, because markets have to be created, right? Markets have to be organized. But by not blocking that, yeah, it wasn't merely large subsidized behavior. I totally agree with that part. I do think there is a role for subsidizing new technology. I do think there is a role for trying to making sure costs are internalized and we don't just have outside costs imposed on other people. I think that's one of the reasons we get together. But I also agree that there's more we can do. Last word for you, and then we'll do speed round after the break.
Yep, so I agree completely, and the same thing happened in my hometown. They actually had to change the rules to allow the private wind farm. So on the same page. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Keith. I want to say so far the definition of speed round has been me talking really, really fast. And I will talk even faster after the break. No, but we'll get to your calls.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Speed round coming up, 202-838-9825.
Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, HartmanReport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. Or just read them for free with no ads by going to HartmanReport.com. I cover topics from climate to Congress to politics to the law, as well as social and health issues. You can find it all at HartmanReport.com. Explore the quaint seaside villages and historic harbors of old New England with American Cruise Lines. You'll visit scenic Martha's Vineyard, beautiful Nantucket, and Bar Harbor. Enjoy an authentic lobster bake along the rocky shores of Maine aboard the newest fleet of small cruise ships. Relax on your private balcony, breathing in the ocean air as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Simply request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. Hey friends, Tom Hartman here to tell you about my brand new book. It's called The Tom Hartman Reader. Tom Hartman Reader is unlike any of my other books. It's a collection of my best and most revealing writings that I think you need to know. Tom Hartman Reader covers everything from my fierce commitment to Jeffersonian democracy to my steadfast opposition to the corporatization of America. Also, it more clearly identifies the root cause of so many of our social and environmental ills. The Tom Hartman Reader will give you essential information and explore solutions to questions like, how do we keep our schools from treating children like assembly line products? Why is it that attention deficit disorder is not an affliction? Or what cloudy Germany can teach us about solar energy? And much, much more. Not only will you gain vital substance on a wide range of topics in the book, but the Tom Hartman Reader will inspire you to action. It's time to educate ourselves on the world around us, why it got this way, and the corrective actions we all need to take. The Tom Hartman Reader, available in fine bookstores everywhere and on our website at TomHartman.com. Makes a great gift, too. Inspiration, insight, and action. The Tom Hartman Reader.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats make a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. Goats provide food, milk, and give Sudanese families the safety net to pursue education or set up a small business. They really are the gifts that keep on giving. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
If something's wrong with your computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. Bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at TomHartmann.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartmann, in bookstores everywhere and online at TomHartmann.com.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
Here on Thank You Thursday, I am thankful for you, and yeah, thankful for people like our caller, like Jill, who built an 18-panel array in her area and built her own sort of solar system without subsidy and just got it done, and really appreciate that. And I do think downscale, at-scale stuff is worth all of us being thankful for. People showing responsibility for themselves, showing responsibility for their neighbors, and taking some responsibility to make things a little bit better. A lot of people doing a little bit to make a little bit, make things a little bit better, might make things more than a little bit better. William from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Hi, Jefferson. I just wanted to talk about student debt.
Yeah.
Back in 1980, the United States was number one in higher education. And by 2016, we were like 44th. So, you know, we're very uncompetitive in the world market. And part of the problem is that, you know, kids in high school, they don't complete it because, you know, why go to college? Because, you know, you're going to face this debt. People that have gone through college, you know, for a bachelor's degree, they're not getting a master's degree or PhD. And these are the things we need to be competitive in the world. Yep. And Republicans should recognize that.
Yeah, no, that higher education in so many states had been for a long time a bipartisan consensus, right? It's where moderates would go to have cocktails and agree, right? Like, hey, let's make sure, because they recognized that the liberal side of their brain would say, yeah, let's help people get education, and the conservative side of their brain would say, yeah, let's make sure we're ahead on research and economic competitiveness, right? And it was a way, and then But with the onward sweep of the beat down of public services generally, of the ratcheting down, not trying to go after service by service, but the Grover Norquist strategy of, let's just try to shrink government, drown it in the bathtub, and then people can fight over the scraps of what's left. That has meant that higher education has decreased in state funding decade over decade for those last years, that the lobbyists for the banking industry, for the loan industry, have been able to ratchet up interest rates on students. that college costs have meanwhile gone up. And anybody who says, back in my day, I was able to pay for my own education. Yeah, just look at the numbers, my friend. That was true for my grandfather as well. Also true for my father. Wasn't true for me. But who it's really not true for is my nephew, who's starting next. And my brother and I are pitching in to be able to take care of his college. And I know what his college costs compared to what my dad spent. And my dad was able to do it. He paid for it over a summer job. And you can't do that anymore. Thank you, William. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. I promise I'm going to at least speak six words more slowly towards the end of the program. Mark from San Jose, go ahead.
Hi. I was worried about, you know, I heard that the post office had, you know, allowed these abortion pills to be in all 50 states, and then now a Texas judge is going to be able to ban it all.
Wow, I miss this.
Yeah, that sounds just insane, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the case is, I should Google that, but we got a few minutes left. I'll look it up after the show. But you're saying is a federal judge in Texas or a state judge?
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Do you know if he'd give a message to Tom for me? Do you know if it's a federal judge or a state judge?
No, the guy in Texas. No, I know he was cherry picked. I don't know his name.
All right. Well, send it to us. Yeah. Send it to us if you would.
Well, I did, but I was going to just give a message to Tom to contact Roe and Mark with a great opportunity I have for him. Thank you.
Okay, be well. Thank you.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
All right. Bye. Ed from Belfair.
Hi. Hello, Jeff. Real quick, this is messaging. This is about messaging for anybody that's demonstrating in the United States,
Yep. Especially
in Florida right now against DeSantis. They need to unify their message, and instead of having, if you have 100 people out there, having 100 different signs, they need to have one sign and one sign only, like they did in 68 during the sanitization or the garbage strike. I am a man. They need to have a sign that says DeSantis is a fascist. If you have 100 people out there and they each have that sign will be seen. And if they put a yellow background and a red lettering, I can guarantee you it will make headlines. Thanks, Jeff. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Ed, twice. Appreciate you for both things. Joan from KBCS, great station, Washington. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that the lady who called and talked about something that was on Como.
Yep.
Como in Seattle is owned by Sinclair Broadcasting,
yep,
along with a whole lot of our local newspapers. And you can't count on anything that they say. They're just as bad as Fox so-called news.
No, John, I appreciate the call. And it goes back to the disinformation, misinformation conversations we were happening in the first and second hour. It goes back to the old book, Who Will Tell the People? It's related to the question of who owns the media and how do we make sure democracy is served rather than democracy is manipulated? And how do we, it is why I am so grateful. It is the community that makes up this show. I'm so grateful to be here with y'all, and that we have to grow that community. We have to find more distribution for more pro-democracy messaging and more pro-truth news.
I do have something I'd like you to address tomorrow, and that is the fact that they've just thrown out the rule of law in Texas for the abortion case.
We're going to talk about it tomorrow.
And since you're a lawyer, I'd really like you to talk about that, because it's against everything I was taught, that you have to have standing, you have to have damages.
Well, Joan, that's the music, and it's time for me to say goodbye to you. And also to say thank you. It's Thank You Thursday. Think of what you're grateful for. Thank a family member. Thank a friend. Thank somebody in your community. Thank somebody. I want to thank my garbage people, the people, my sanitation engineers, people who pick up my filth. I don't even know them. And I appreciate every day all the things that people do to make the world a little bit better. You are the coalition of the benevolently irrational, the good people doing good things for no good reason. And you are priceless. Definition of priceless, worth a lot. Not for sale. Show gratitude, everybody. It's not just good for them, it's good for you. I'll be back tomorrow. Tom will be back Monday. Love you, everybody.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like walking your dog in public without securing them on a leash. I mean, most of the time you'll probably be fine, but what if one day your dog runs away or gets dognapped? It's better to be careful, especially when it's as simple as using ExpressVPN. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secured. Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data. But ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so they can't do it. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. ExpressVPN works on all your devices, phone, laptop, tablet, even your smart TV, and it's so easy to use. Just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. I can get you an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free at expressvpn.com.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, and even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.